2018 Mazda plate clearance is all go. Save with driveway value. See your local Mazda dealer today.
Dave Gleeson and Alana Smith in studio. What's making news on this Friday the 7th of December?
Well, big news in SA Parliament yesterday as we take a listen.
I rise to announce to the House my intention to retire.
54.
54 years old. Yeah. Jay Weatherill, one-time Premier, has decided to pull up stumps. I want to retire at 54 too. I don't think he's just going to go off into the wilderness, is he? He's got
plans. 16 years in Parliament, and obviously some of those as Premier, you're going to make some connections. So I'd imagine he's got a long career ahead of him, perhaps sitting on boards or lobbying governments, or who knows what he's going to do. It looks like he's still got youngish children, maybe he just wants to spend time with his family.
And look, I'm never having been in politics myself or ever wanting to go into them. It looks like it takes up all your time. This is the thing.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that the long-suffering spouses of anyone who's in Parliament do all the heavy lifting at home and stuff like that.
They'll be going solo, absolutely.
I almost feel like maybe there should be a time limit on how long you're in politics for, because you see some of these people that are in politics, like especially the backbenchers, and they're just sitting around, they're going, I don't care.
Getting paid fairly well.
I don't care. I've got a safe seat. So maybe there should be a time. Okay, off you go.
Well, see, talking about the all-consuming nature of it, you can see with Malcolm Turnbull, and I know things didn't end the way he would have liked, but it's almost impossible for him to have just gone out and stayed quiet, you know, if he's so used to talking to the media every day.
Oh, he loves it. He really does love getting out and talking to the media, Malcolm. But Jay Weatherill was, he obviously leaves behind quite a legacy. He's he was one-time treasurer. He got to hand down a budget at one time, and he got a lot of things underway, and obviously he was able to slip out the side door before the huge tram debacle that went on, but obviously people are still blaming
him. Remember when we lost power in Adelaide?
Yeah.
Jay was there.
All right.
In the dark.
Moving on. Bushfires on KIG. The summer heat wave has really struck quickly. 532 hectares of fields and plantations have been destroyed by this intense blaze that's been fueled by some really strong winds over there.
Yeah, well, it took off at about 1:30 p.m. yesterday. They were saying at one stage they filmed 10-meter-high flames. Mm. It was able to travel in 5 hours. It travelled 8 kilometres, so it was pretty nasty bushfire. That means it was only 3 or 4 weeks ago. I was in Newcastle. They had some pretty serious bushfires there. We've got them. Victoria, I see, has a big one burning at the moment. So right at the very beginning of summer, we've plunged straight into the bushfire
right across
season.
The country.
Hopefully the fireys can get a handle on the KI fire today and in the coming days.
And just finally, obviously, you would have watched plenty of the cricket yesterday, Glee. So what an amazing start it was by Australia.
It was fantastic. Our bowlers once again, and this is the thing, I don't think our bowlers have been the ones under scrutiny over the last period, 12 to 18 months. It's the batsmen who kind of really need to step up, but the bowlers yesterday were just fantastic. And to see them toiling in that heat and maintaining their kind of their structure and the pressure that they put on the batsmen. Kohli to go out for three runs. Fantastic.
Wonder what that does to the ego. Usman. We'll be talking to Greg Blewett a bit later, so we might talk a bit more about that then.
But cool.
Yeah, what about some of the fielding efforts, you say? Khawaja's catch, Cummings' run out at the end there. That was absolutely brilliant.
It was unreal. It was a great day of cricket for us Aussies.
And that's what's making news. Triple M. 104.7, it's Adelaide's Triple M. You got Dave Gleeson and Alana Smith.
Yeah, and we're talking this morning to Stephen Bradbury. Stephen, good morning to you.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, thanks, mate. How you doing? I haven't seen you for a while. I was telling the peeps here that we hooked up and had a bit of fun in Japan all those years ago.
We did, mate. How do they get a rock and roller to do morning radio?
Well, now I'm a responsible rock and roller, that's how.
Now, Stephen, you've just been in Adelaide yourself. Tell us a bit about what you've been doing.
Yeah, well, I had a couple of beers down there and a bit of fun. I might have thought you guys might have had a cricketer on the radio this morning. They must all be busy, but I was doing some work with a company called Smart Bar down there that are a great Australian underdog success story, I suppose, a little bit like myself. They make plastic bars and plastic polymer products that export to about 26 countries around the world, and they're kicking some goals, doing well.
And speaking of being an underdog, I mean, Adelaide's, for us, we've been very proud Adelaideans. We often punch above our weight in many things, but this stuff is being sold around the world to and, you know, being touted as something that's better than available anywhere else.
Yeah, it's a product that isn't made anywhere else in the world, and most of it actually goes across to Europe and to Korea and many other countries, and it's a pedestrian approved by European standards. So, you know, if you hit a kangaroo on the highway, the bull bar actually flexes back into shape, so you don't have to put an insurance claim in for your car, and it's a far safer product than any other bull bars that are around. So yeah, check them out at smartbar.com.
Yeah, certainly sounds like an impressive product. Now, your name came up only recently, and I know it's sort of part of the Aussie vernacular now, but Malcolm Turnbull described Scott Morrison as doing Stephen Bradbury. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, that turbulent, well, every week seems to be a turbulent week in Australian politics, but that week was an exceptional one, and I think Julie Bishop did it, Bradbury, and then Mark Dutton did one, and then Bill Shorten did one somewhere in there as well, and ended up Scott Morrison did the final Bradbury of the week and became our, sixth Prime Minister in about 6 months.
Now, you won gold at the Winter Olympics. Are you still involved in any way with making skates and stuff like that?
Yeah, we actually sold that business some years ago now, but I'm still on the board of the Olympic Winter Institute, which looks after our 8 Winter Olympic program sports, and you know, we've got a lot of tongue of athletes, small numbers in each of those sports, but we punch above our weight when it comes to the results there. So, the Aussie Winter Olympians are working hard, and obviously we had the games earlier this year in Pyeongchang in South Korea, where we had 2 silvers and a bronze, which wasn't an amazing result. We didn't get any golds there, but 3 medals out of a team of around 50 athletes is a pretty good return on investment.
Yeah, and there was certainly enormous interest in the Winter Olympics. It seems like it's just becoming ever more popular in this country, would you say?
It is, you know, it rates as well as the Summer Games when it's on these days. And, you know, us Aussies are not numbers fillers in the Winter Games anymore. And, man, athletes like myself and Lisa Camplin and many others over the years that have kind of put us on the map in the Winter Olympics. And, there's plenty of Aussie success stories coming out of Australia in the Winter Games, and yeah, it's cool that I was, I suppose, one of the pioneers there.
Rock on, mate. Well, thanks very much for your time, Stephen. We're talking about Smart Bar, and if you want to know more about that, you can go to smartbar.com.au and check out another Australian success story. Thanks for your time, Stephen.
Yeah, too easy, guys. Thanks for having me on this
morning.
Thank you. And, the Aussies keep kicking butt in the cricket today, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Stand by, we'll talk Test cricket next with former cricketer Greg Blewett in 10 minutes. Triple M.
What a goal!
Ruin Dits Overnight Sports.
Wallaroo Marina Apartments. Perfect for your summer holiday. Wallarooapartments.com.au.
The Aussies are in a very strong spot coming into day 2 of the first test against India at Adelaide Oval, with 4 of our bowlers ending the first day with 2 wickets each. Usman Khawaja's classic catch that sent Virat Kohli packing was one of the highlights of the day.
Edge! Oh. What a catch! Unbelievable! Usman Khawaja takes a one-handed blinder and the massive wicket that Virat Kohli falls.
Howie finds it a bit hard to keep a lid on it sometimes, doesn't he? While Pat Cummins was able to run out Cheteshwar Pujara just before stumps for 123. I mean, his knock was just sensational yesterday. India resumed this morning at 9 for 250. It's going to be another scorcher as we head for a top of 38.
Yeah, no reprieve. Now, while Travis Head gets ready to bat in the baggy green, his Redbacks teammates are preparing to take on the Blues in a Sheffield Shield match starting today at the SCG. Buff Lehman's son Jake will skipper SA in Travis's absence. And in football news, Adelaide United have a tough assignment tomorrow night when they take on Japanese star Keisuke Honda and the Melbourne Victory at Marvel Stadium. The Reds are already thinking about how they can get better and are thinking about signing record-breaking Brazilian striker Bobo during next month's transfer window. And former Red Bruce Gitte is another man coming home from overseas, but it's unclear which A-League club he'll be hooking up with.
And that was sport. All thanks to Wallaroo Marina Apartments, perfect for your summer holiday at wallarooapartments.com.au. And we'll talk the first test with Greg Blewett on the air next. Ruined It's for breakfast, 7:39.
More time on this occasion. Oh. His first catch in Test match cricket, and Nathan Lyon makes the breakthrough.
Go, go, go!
Well played, Cheteshwar Pujara, and that will be the 16th ton, a moment to savour.
And we are joined right now by former Australian Test cricketer Greg Blewett. How are you going, Bluey?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I'm good.
What about yesterday's first day for the Aussies?
Yeah, I think they'll be happy with that. I sometimes sort of worry about how we're going to bat as well, because you know you never get a fair reflection when you see both teams bat. So you know, Australia have got some inexperienced players there, so today's a massive day, but I think they'd be really happy with yesterday, especially in the heat.
Yeah, let's talk through some of the highlights. Pat Cummins' effort in the field to round off the day has been described by the likes of Adam Gilchrist as the best run out ever. Did he get a bit too excited? How good was it?
Maybe not ever, but geez, it was good. From a big fast bowler who'd bowled 19 overs, and his athleticism was just so good. It was there to see. So I am now officially in love with Pat Cummins because he's such a brilliant bloke, and I think his cricket's just going to get better and better over the years. So that was just a little bonus at the end of the day, wasn't it?
Indeed, and we saw David Saker get interviewed on the Channel 7 coverage at the bowling coach, and he must have been extremely happy with the way the boys stuck to their guns.
Yeah, absolutely. I was really, yeah, it's always great to see Mitchell Starc bowling up around 150. I was, you know, excited to see him play in that T20 and to see his pace and his rhythm. So I reckon that's a really good sign for the summer. I reckon Josh Hazlewood's bowled better, but, you know, his not-so-good bowling's still really good. And Pat Cummins, I thought, was the pick of the bowlers yesterday, so... And then you throw Nathan Lyon, who, you know, he's getting better and better as well. So, you know, those four bowlers, if we can keep them on the park, we're always going to be in the test matches, I reckon.
Pujara's ton, obviously the highlight for India on day one. What do you make of Kohli going for three, given there was just so much talk about him heading in and articles today about the ego of him and challenging that being the key to the series? What do you think the impact of that will be?
And he still will be. You know, he's such a good player. He's gonna make a score somewhere along the line. You know, yesterday wasn't his day. But the Australians would have spoke about getting him out like that. There is a bit of a pattern to, you know, he's going to score. He's going to hit some beautiful cover drives, no doubt about it. But he can be a little bit susceptible to that sort of line of bowling and that length. So, and what about the catch from Usman? That was
terrific. Brilliant.
And as you mentioned, Pujara just held everything together. That's his role, and he did it beautifully yesterday. He was hard to get out, and we had to run him out in the end.
So I don't want to put you on the spot, Bluey, but how's it looking? Are we looking like we might be in the box seat for the upcoming 4 days?
Yeah, I think so, Gleeso. Today's going to, you know, at the end of today, that'll tell us, really, I think. the pitch looks good. Saying that, though, that the Shield matches so far this summer, 250 to 300 has been a pretty good score. So I think, you know, India did dig themselves out a bit of a hole that, you know, gives them something to bowl to. But, you know, if one of our, you know, top six or a couple of them get decent scores, then, you know, if we can sort of get up, you know, 300, 350, I think that'll give us, give our bowlers something really good to bowl to.
All right. We'll leave it there, Bluey. Thanks very much for your time this morning.
No worries. Going well, guys.
Cheers, mate.
7.55, heading for 38 degrees today. Another scorcher on Triple M. Ruined is for breakfast. They're back in 2019. Gleeso and Alana Smith in for the guys this week. AFL talk in America on the biggest TV talk show, wouldn't it be, Ellen, I say?
Yeah, absolutely. Around the world. She is absolutely massive. And you may have seen the pictures of Natalie Portman, the Hollywood starlet, at Melbourne Demons training last week. Simon Goodwin was giving her a cuddle.
He was proud as punch, old goodie.
She had the Guernsey on, looking good. And, you know, that was terrific. But it's gone the step further. She was on Ellen and she talked all about it.
My son watched Australian rules football on TV, which is sort of the platypus of sports, I guess, because it's like you can bounce the ball, but you kick it and then tackle each other, but no padding or help. It's like a crazy game.
Right.
Have you ever been to one?
No, but I know that Porsche's brother is not impressed with our football because that football is much harder to play and there's no padding and it's a more difficult game.
It's really hardcore. So I asked my friend who lives there, can we see a game? And she said, the season's over, but I can arrange for us to go to a practice. And so we went to a practice and then they showed up with all these like cameras and a jersey for me. And all of a sudden people in the streets of Melbourne were like, we hate you. You support the team, you know, the Demons or whatever. And then other people were like, cool, we love you, the Demons fan. And I was like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
That's a huge endorsement, isn't it? I mean, the AFL must be
absolutely... Gil McLaughlin would have a big smile after watching that segment.
Cock-a-hoop, absolutely.
Platypus of sport.
Yeah.
I just still don't get that, even the following description.
I know a couple of footballers that have spurs in their boots.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
I haven't spent much time with platypus, whatever the plural of platypus is.
Platypi.
Yeah.
The thing she was talking about with the no padding and stuff like that, same because I'm a rugby league fan, but... Like, you look at these American football players, surely they don't need padding. Some of these guys are 250 kilos and they're out there all padded up.
They've Isn't that the padding. Point? Because they're hitting another 250 kilo bang.
Yeah, I try to watch it. I see it as a spectacle, the overseas, the NFL. Yeah. But, look, I've met plenty of Americans who come over here and they go, what the hell is going on with that game? And I explain it thusly. One team's up this end and they want to get down that end and score a goal, just like the team on the other end want to get back up this end. And that pretty well is the same for every sport, whether it's soccer, footy, AFL.
But the 360-degree nature of it does make it super unique. So, you know, anyway, what an endorsement.
Absolutely.
Go, Ellen. Natalie Portman.
So now they've had Chris Hemsworth, who they had to pay. He did the Foxtel ads last year. And Natalie Portman, who did it for nothing but a free jumper. Rock on.
Now, what's happening with these KI fires? Are they still alive or are they out?
Yes, they are. Fire is heading over there from the mainland today as well to help out to try and get it under control. Obviously, the temperature's going to be high and not great for quelling that fire. So
we're going to get the latest from Channel 7's Mark Mooney.
Yeah, we'll do that shortly. After 8. Triple M. Now, you might have seen some pictures coming in via 7 News this morning. Kangaroo Island is running a little hot right now, Gleeso.
Yep.
We've got Mark Mooney on the phone from 7 News. Mark, g'day.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Mark. What's the latest on the fires burning on KI?
G'day, Alana. Well, we're in Pandana at the moment where all the crews who are about to head out for the day now have just had their briefing. So it was a really horrendous day here yesterday, 37 degrees, strong winds. So they had this huge fire that was heading towards the town of Vivon Bay, which is on the south of Kangaroo Island. At one stage, the one of the flanks of this fire was 8 kilometres long. So you can imagine they were so worried about a wind change that would push that fire towards Vivon Bay and that 8 kilometre flank becomes the fire front. So that was a big concern yesterday. The conditions have eased overnight, so they've managed to kind of hammer that eastern flank that was causing so much grief yesterday, but they're now worried about a wind change that's going to push the fire back north. So pretty tense times here this morning. We know that residents in that Vivon Bay area were told to go yesterday if they weren't prepared to stay and defend their homes. So many of them did heed that advice, and some have stayed to try and defend their properties. The fire hasn't quite reached Vivon Bay yet, and the hope is that it won't get there today with the wind dropping off, but there is a change coming through around lunchtime. So, as I said, pretty nervous times here, guys.
And they've had the water bombers up there as well, doing some bombing from the air?
Yeah, that's right. They had quite a few here yesterday. I think they did 51 drops on the fire, which is a lot. We don't often see that many drops, on a given day. And they've got the bombers heading back over here. I think the first one's due to arrive at 9 o'clock. So they're going to use that as a bit of a rookie. They're going to get over the fire and just see exactly what it's done overnight, because it's got into some really inaccessible terrain. There's really dense blue gum plantations and scrub through there. So we went out for a look last night, and it was really hard to actually get to where the fire was because it's so so inaccessible. So they've got a whole bunch of fresh crews that have headed over here from the mainland, about 55 firefighters, two strike teams. So they're fresh this morning. They'll go out and give the local guys a rest. And as I said, if they can just get on top of the northern part of the fire and also just contain that eastern flank, hopefully it won't get to Vivon Bay. But the big test will be when this change comes through just after lunchtime.
Indeed. Given the inaccessible nature you just described, have you got a read on how much damage has already been done, or is it too hard to tell?
Well, thankfully at this stage, they don't think any, as they call them, assets have been lost. So we have about half a dozen homes and kind of sheds that were in a bit of danger yesterday. We've seen pictures from the Seven News chopper where there's a property with a big shearing quarters on it, but it's on stilts. So this fire has actually gone straight underneath the shed. And basically left it untouched, a bit of damage there, but thankfully no homes have been gone. Where it is right now, the concern is that it's heading towards a conservation park here, and as I said, that's where it gets really tricky, because that hasn't had a burn there for a couple of decades, I'm told. So if it gets in there, that's when things will get a little bit hairy. But at this stage, with a cooler day, it's only kind of high 20s here today, not like Adelaide, so they're just hoping when the winds pick up that they've already kind of gained the upper hand, and these residents who are understandably very nervous can get back home and get on with their lives.
Okay, Mark, thank you very much for joining us this morning, keeping us updated on the Kangaroo Island fires, and we hopefully the conditions do prove favourable for the firefighters today.
Now, Gleeso, off air before, you were mentioning your place that you're living in right now got burnt down, right?
The bushfires went through obviously the hills in 83, I think, before I was here. But
it was a good year, 83. I was born in 83.
As was I. There you go.
Oh, geez, now I feel old. I feel very old.
Fighting fires. We haven't
been born. I urge everyone in the hills to make sure they have their fire action plan ready and updated, and because every summer they say that this could be the worst one, but just make sure that you have those procedures in place and you do a bit of practice on them, and make sure that you keep your family and your property safe.
As we see time and time again, it just happens so fast, doesn't it? The change in wind, yep. And yeah, you've got to be prepared.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. No doubt it's a fire up on your Friday morning.
She was on, Gwen Stefani was on Ellen yesterday singing a Christmas song. She's so quirky and sexy, old Gwen. I love her.
I wouldn't have picked you as an Ellen watcher. Like daily ritual
Funny you should say that. I like a short-haired chick. I was just flicking through,
Triple M's.
Flicking through religiously.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. Got to get that in.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Gleeso,
now, listen, David Penberthy has penned a column in today's Advertiser talking about, talking up the city of Adelaide, because we cop a bagging, don't we, from other states?
Yeah. Well, he says from two types of people.
Yep.
Those that have never been here.
Yep.
And those that have never left.
Well, I never thought, I've been here for 13 years now, I never thought that I would, as I was growing up, I didn't think, one day I'm going to live in Adelaide. But having moved here, I couldn't see myself living anywhere else.
It's great. Once bag Adelaide?
No,
South Australia in general?
No, I've been a citizen of well, not the world, but the country.
Yeah.
Ever since I was, you know, 20 something years old, so I've travelled around and been able to enjoy the delights of many different, you know, states and cities in the states. But when I came to Adelaide, people were like, oh, Adelaide, you'll die of boredom. Okay, so about 2 weeks after I got here, went out on a Sunday night, got home at 7 o'clock on a Monday morning. I was like, what else do people want? I mean, people go, oh,
what
Adelaide,
else does anyone want in life other Adelaide's than to be having an
all-nighter?
Adelaide's
a dead city. I'm like, well, I had an all-nighter on a Sunday night, so rock on.
And type of place.
What do you know that I don't know? Where'd
There's
you go?
Hole in the wall bars, oh, okay. Hole in the wall. Right.
Yeah, last thing. So I particularly liked his description of those that have never left. So he says, then there are the homegrown South Australian whingers whose lives have been so sheltered and myopic that they regard our roads, public transport and infrastructure as unbearably bad, if not the worst on earth. And what sort of prompted this conversation is the Indians being in town, because they absolutely love Adelaide.
The
they love the freedoms that they're not afforded at home. And like, if we're talking traffic and infrastructure, I think they'd have a bit more to say about it. Virat Kohli in particular says it's his absolute home away from home. It's his favourite place to play. Traditionally, he's had, you know, a very good time on Adelaide Oval, but he says the city as well, the restaurants are close, they walk across the bridge to the ground, you can see why they'd love it.
And they get on the trams and go, what, there's three people on the tram.
That's right.
Back where I come from.
And look, I was only talking to someone about it last night, and the fact that you can still get around Adelaide, and I know there's, you know, the South Road stuff's going on, but you're pretty well, if you say to someone, I'll be there in half an hour, you're pretty well there in half an hour. When I was living in Sydney, I lived in a place called Marrickville, which was 8.5 kilometres from Balmain, where all my mates lived, and I hung out there. In a taxi, it would take me 55 minutes and cost me $65 or whatever. And on a bike, it would take me, you know, 8 or 10 minutes. Mm. Here, I mean, it's just, people just don't realise, as David Pemberthy says, how good it is,
the ease of life here, that you can sample so many different things in one day. You can go to the beach, you can go to the hills, you can be in the city. Even just getting to Adelaide Oval, it's so easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Sydney and other, I mean, Melbourne's quite easy because it's all right in the city, but Melbourne traffic's horrendous. In Sydney, you've got to travel for 45 minutes to get anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And my favourite one, and this kind of in some ways sums up the people who bag Adelaide. Pembo was in France, and he met an older couple from Australia, and they said, where are you from? And he said, I'm from Adelaide. And the woman said, oh, Adelaide, God, I can see why you've decided to come here. He was entertained by that remark because these people were from Wollongong. Now, Wollongong has the Port Kembla slag heap and the Dapto dogs, and that's about it. And it's they do have some beautiful beaches there, but Wollongong hasn't got a patch on Adelaide. But we suffer from you know, people not having been here, bagging us, and people who have never left and had to deal with the crap of the traffic congestion and the overcrowding of some of the bigger cities.
I think we do need, this is one thing we do need in Adelaide, is a chopper service
from
the city getting tourists to Barossa and to McLaren Vale.
There is one.
Right in the heart of the city. What, just near the Adelaide Oval?
Not right in the city, but somewhere near the airport, which is 10 minutes away from the city, be fair. you can get a chopper definitely to the Barossa. Seppeltsfield.
Yeah.
Sit down at Fino. Okay.
Get to the chopper. I've always wanted to
Let's
say that.
Let's get one in the heart of the city, I think.
Okay. Maybe on the roof of Triple M.
Needless to say, I think Pembo's right on the money when he says that Adelaide is an extremely livable city, possibly
Absolutely.
The most livable city in the whole country.
Ruined Dits Breakfast, Triple M. This is 104.7. It's Adelaide's Triple M. Ruined Dits for Breakfast back in 2019, and some big news coming out of the Maguire and Newman camp of 2019.
So what we've decided is this. Sam Newman and myself are going to host a number of specials next year, which are going to be big, extravagant, entertainment, footy shows, just like the grand final show, which sets the agenda. So that's going to be that type of show. We will then have another show that will be on a Wednesday or Thursday night, and that'll be a completely new show. New hosts, new people.
Wow.
Sam may be, you know, going in between both of them, but I won't be hosting that show, but I'll be hosting the specials. And then Sam, of course, will also be involved in an extended Sunday footy show on the Sunday morning with some of his great head-to-head interviews.
Big news, because obviously Sam, on the second to last footy show, said that he was resigning from the whole thing, didn't he? Or
unless he would be re-signed.
Unless they gave him some more money and signed him up again.
It was a very confusing half-goodbye type thing. But anyway, he's obviously been re-signed for quite a number of years.
Yeah.
And, expecting to see these big specials now with Eddie and Sam at the helm.
How many grand final specials can you have in 1 year? But, I mean, obviously they've looked at how it went last year. It hasn't been doing all that well, and they're blaming all types of different factors.
Lots of viewers obviously flicking over to the front bar.
Yeah, the front bar is
Thursday night.
Is a fantastic format,
it's just
sure
funny, isn't
it?
It is, yeah.
And I'm sure they didn't do it and say, "Let's sink the footy show." But what's happened is everyone enjoys it. They have great guests on there. It's a really great format, and so I imagine Channel 9's looked at that and thought, "Hang on, we need to come up with something that's going to compete with that."
I'm pretty sure Mick Malloy was thinking, "Let's sink the footy show."
Oh, he was thinking, "Let's sink some tins." That's what he was thinking.
Just such a competitive marketplace as well. Like obviously. Fox Footy, yep. He's got shows every single night of the week, AFL 360, On the Couch, etc. So, yeah, look forward to seeing what they come up with.
Watching this space.
Things we didn't get to.
Look, I'm going to change that today. Because what have we got, another week next week?
I wouldn't say no to that.
Everyone says, I love the show. What's that stupid part at the end? Look, things we didn't get to. Girls, in a recent survey, are more hooked on social media than boys, spending up to 2 hours a day. This is teenage girls, up to 2 hours a day on social media. And with that comes effects that flow on, negative self-image, et cetera, et cetera.
Buying things you shouldn't.
Yes, indeed. So.
I got one of those alerts. I didn't know I'd asked for it on my phone the other day that said, your screen time was down by 20% yesterday to 2 hours 45.
Wow.
Whoa, what? Without noticing. And that was down 20%.
Yeah, right. Well, there you go. It's a trap for players. You go down the rabbit hole and you find sometime later, oh, geez, I should have been doing something. Is that the kids crying? Now, the Divinyls, I mentioned the other day that the Divinyls, or Mark McEntee, the guitar player from the Divinyls, has hooked up in musically with a chick from America, and they're going to do a Divinyls tour. Charlie Drayton, who is Chrissy's husband, has come out and said that it is a total disrespect to his wife and her legacy. So I thought that people would be kind of on board with keeping the music alive of the Divinyls, but it turns out that there's a few who think it might not be a good thing. Look, I speak from a position of experience, having stepped in for Doc Neeson, and for me, I don't try and replace Doc, and I don't think anyone tries to replace these iconic people. I think it's just a matter of, keeping the legacy alive and getting out there and playing these songs live.
People love hearing them,
don't
they?
That's exactly right.
Just perusing the finance pages. Qantas, always. Qantas to pay their first tax bill in a decade. I didn't know they hadn't been paying tax for that long. But obviously, Alan Joyce has really turned things around. They will pay $11 million in company tax for the past financial year, and they're expecting to pay even more next year.
He's got friends in high places, Alan Joyce. Don't
worry about that. Doesn't sound like a lot, does it?
If you're running from the tax man, you just fly out the country.
Exactly. He's 37,000 feet in the air. And the Sun, the skin cancer message doesn't seem to be getting through, because skin cancer is actually on the rise with all the knowledge that we have and the sunscreens, etc., and slip, slop, and slap. 4 in 10 people are not aware of the risk factors. And this boggles my mind. 9 in 10 don't know when to use sunscreen. I would say when you're going out in the sun, people, use sunscreen. Obviously, there's guidelines, but maybe half an hour before you go in the sun and then reapplying. But look,
it's not rocket science.
Get up to speed with this, people. It's a life-threatening issue, and we have the highest rates of skin cancer in the world, and it does take lives. Well, that's the thing.
Yeah. My three-year-old's making up for those that don't know how to do it. She's obsessed with applying sunscreen. We have to hide the bottle. She's like,
Mom,
got them
sunscreen
stashed everywhere. I'm like, you're inside. You don't need 10 layers.
Another scorch today in Adelaide, 38 degrees. We got the cricket on. What are you guys up to over the weekend? Anything special?
I'm off to Penrith today. The Screaming Jets Got You Covered tour, which comes to the Gov on the 21st of December, kicks off over in the eastern states this very day.
I'm heading to a good mate's party in Sydney, so looking forward to that.
All right, we'll see you back here Monday morning,
yes.
All right?
Rock on.
7 a.m. show.
Yeah, yeah, I'll be out all night Sunday. And
that's going to be a good
fresh
show.
Fresh as a daisy Monday morning.
All right, have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
The 2018 Mazda plate clearance is all go. Save with drive-away value. See your local Mazda dealer today.